Do they ever learn in the afterlife of what they did and the consequences of what they did? Because they do affect other people.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose, I think, of the life review and self-judgment, is to recognize all the impact they had. In other words, we're all interconnected. And when a person commits suicide, there's a certain amount of selfishness to it, in the sense that they often are not looking at how that's going to affect everybody around them. And when they're going through the life review and self-judgment, they have to look at all of the consequences of what they did, how it impacted everybody, all of the impact it had on people whose lives they would have touched had they stayed alive, and how they cut their own life lesson short. And one of the reasons why suicide is not a good solution is that they usually have to come back and have another lifetime where they have even tougher situations to overcome than they did in this life.
So you believe in reincarnation?
I do.
I do too. Here's an interesting facet then about this. Do suicide victims come back and commit suicide again in their next incarnation?
They actually often do. We have some research that we got from the University of Virginia database, which talks about the incidence of recurrence in suicide. And there are some suicides who were channeled who talk about the fact that they committed suicide quite a few lifetimes, and they feel embarrassed when they go back to the afterlife because they realize they blew it again.
Why can't they stop the first time?
Well, one would hope that with all of us being less judgmental and more loving and keeping everybody feeling like they're a part of the world, that maybe it can stop.
But it appears that it doesn't. I mean, if you're saying that they come back and do it again, maybe they do it again. I mean, why don't they just merely say, and you would think that they would learn in their, you know, first afterlife experience, hey, if I'm going back, I'm not going to do this again. It doesn't seem like they're reaching that level of perfection that we're all attaining to.
Well, and yet they may eventually do so. You know, it was interesting, the young man I spoke of earlier who was suicidal, who I tried to make sure this information got to, had told his mother when he was 15 that this was the oldest he'd ever made it, that last time he'd committed suicide at the age of 9.
He knew this?
Yeah, he remembered it.
Absolutely staggering. I wonder how other spirits who died a normal life, you know, they're just an old age or something, or an accident or whatever, but it wasn't induced by themselves. Mm-hmm. What do they say, or what do they do when these suicide spirits show up? I mean, do they scold them, leave them alone? Are they categorized and, you know, put in a different category?
No, but it is interesting that a lot of times the spirit guides for suicides are people who themselves committed suicide, and then they act as spirit guides for others as a way of penance or spiritual work. And I don't think they necessarily immediately integrate in with other souls. They have to, and this may be true basically for all spirits, that there may be a certain period of adjustment which is done on their own before they rejoin the community, so to speak. It's hard to say. There does seem to be some variation case by case.
Well, these spirit guides, though, who are monitoring people who ultimately commit suicide, they're not doing their job.
Well, you know, it's interesting. They do say that they are always trying to help. And no matter what kind of suicide is committed, if you would just sort of listen in those quiet moments to the thoughts, like what you might do in meditation, or just, you know, in the middle of the day, you're taking a little break, and you just sort of listen to those quiet thoughts that they are trying to get through. And if we ask for help, that they are always there and will always provide it.
How do we know that these spirit guides, who committed suicide themselves when they were living, aren't the reason that some of these other people are committing suicide? How do we know that they're not, you know, the little voice in the ear that went, kill yourself? How do we know that?
You have two different things here going on. The spirit guides generally are very enlightened, and they only want what's best for you. But there are some spirits who will hang around, and not just in terms of the suicide, but also spirits of alcoholics or drug addicts, and will try to get people to continue to indulge so that they can sort of vicariously get high. And I would say the easy way to know the difference is, what is the voice in your mind saying? Is it saying, oh, take another drink, or let's have some more heroin, or is it saying, you know, it's okay, if you hang in there, things can change?
That's pretty dangerous, isn't it? So some of these people who actually say they hear voices to do some of these horrible things, are you saying that it could be something from the afterlife trying to edge them on?
There are some mediums who feel that happens.
How do you stop that?
Well, for one thing, you can avoid being a drug addict or an alcoholic and drinking all the time. In other words, be reasonable in your habits. But for another, it's like any other kind of channeled message. Pay attention to it. Does it make sense to you? Is it helpful? Does it help you move forward in life? Or is it harmful? And if it's harmful, don't listen to it. And it doesn't matter whether it's your Aunt B saying the message or some spirit, you know, from Beetlejuice. I don't care. You listen to the quality of the message. Is it worth listening to? Is it not? Whether they're human or discarnate, you need to be discriminating.
Do the spirit guides help, let's say, children who do this more than an adult?
No, they help everybody.
They do.
Yeah, they even help the suicide bombers. They'll help everybody.
Why would they want to help the suicide bombers?
Because they believe in redemption.